This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
God bless you all. Here we go. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, rasulullah. Once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sisters and brothers, those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram. This is episode number 41 from the series Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So yesterday we talked about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. We talked about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah when the Prophet Muhammad was planning to go for his Umrah when he saw that dream, that vision. And in that vision, he saw himself performing Umrah, you know, bringing the sacrifice with him. So he told the Sahaba, and the Sahaba, they got very excited after so many years, after 6 years migrating from Mecca to Medina. Now they get to go back to Mecca to perform Umrah, so they were extremely happy. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he called upon the Arabs, Muslims and non-Muslims, because Quraysh would need to give, you know, Prophet Muhammad need permission to enter Mecca, and he knows that Quraysh, you know, most likely won't approve of him coming for, you know, to perform Umrah or to enter Mecca, you know, for that matter. So Prophet Muhammad, this is what we call strategic planning, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he called Muslims and non-Muslims, because even non-Muslims, they used to go to Mecca to perform, you know, their Hajj or their Umrah, but they had their own ways of performing Hajj and Umrah, their own ways of performing Tawaf, right? So the Prophet called Arabs, saying that if I were to go and if they were to let me, I'm a winner. If I were to go and they were to stop me, the Arabs would sympathize with me, all the tribes. You know, they will sympathize with the Prophet Muhammad because I'm coming here to perform Umrah, and then they have, you know, they're stopping me, you know. And if I were to go and if I were to work out some sort of reconciliation, sulh, between me and Quraysh, Prophet Muhammad, you know, will be happy. And that's what he aimed for, alayhi salam. He aimed for to have some sort of sulh, reconciliation between, you know, him and between Quraysh, between Mecca. So it is a win-win situation for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? He thought of all the plans and all the possibilities and all the options. So this is another, you know, like when I said initially that when we talk about the seerah, you know, it's not like we narrate stories or we narrate, you know, events that happen, but we derive lessons from the stories of the Prophet or from the seerah of the Prophet, from the life, you know, looking at the Prophet Muhammad as a leader, as a husband, as a father, you know, we look at him from all types, from all aspects, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he thought, you know, a lot of people sometimes they get so stressed out because they, you know, let's say maybe they have an interview or they have something coming up or whatnot, and they have a plan, but they get so, you know, frustrated sometimes, or you know, like panic or stress out, you know. Whereas if you were to have options as to what might happen, if this was to happen, I've already got a solution for it. If this was to happen, then I'm gonna do this and whatnot. This is like pre, you know, planning. And Prophet Muhammad was the best of planners, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a great planner, alayhi sallam. But then this is where we throw the seed, and then we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never know what's going to happen. So at least we do our part. At least we do our part of, you know, making efforts, making the move, and then leaving the rest up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot just sit, stand still and don't do nothing. No, don't stand still. DSS. Don't stand still. Do your part, you know, make an effort and then leave the rest up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would you stress out? You know, have you know, different options, you know, in case if something was to happen or if something was to go wrong, you already have thought of many other options, and then you can go back and relax, right? So that way you can remove all the stress because you've already pre-planned of what might happen. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So Prophet Muhammad had all his plan, you know, laid out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he called 1400 people went out with him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 1400 Arabs went out with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. Quraysh, of course, they came to know that Prophet Muhammad was coming. So they sent Khalid bin Walid with his, like a small army to stop Prophet Muhammad from entering the borders, the boundaries of Mecca. Because if Prophet Muhammad was to enter the borders of Mecca, that means he has entered the sacred, you know, place, the sacred, you know, there are certain sacred places like Mecca in itself, Mecca inside Mecca, and there's some places of Medina, they're sacred, which means, you know, you're not allowed to fight, you're not allowed to carry weapons, you're not allowed to do certain things like to hunt, to, you know, so there's certain things like the Hajjaj, the people who go for the pilgrims, when they go to perform, you know, Hajj al-Umrah, once they enter the sacred area, khalas, there are certain actions they're not allowed to perform. So likewise, Prophet Muhammad, right, he was planning to go for Umrah. So they wore, they put on their clothes, you know, the ihrams, to go and perform Umrah. And Prophet Muhammad, although he was going for Umrah, but he took all the actions, he took all the precautions, such as taking his weapons with him. He took weapons, but the weapons were not to enter the sacred area, because they're not allowed. And like I said, it's a sacred area. No fighting is allowed. Not even carrying weapons are allowed in the sacred area. So Prophet Muhammad, you know, yes, it's not, he's making tawakkul. This is another amazing lesson. Amazing lesson of the meaning of, you know, of tawakkul. What is tawakkul? Tawakkul is that you put your trust in Allah. True. But you use the means. You take all the precautions. You make all the efforts. But at the end, you delegate your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet Muhammad is going for Umrah. All right. But how about if they were to attack him? If Quraysh was to carry guns. There were no guns. What am I talking about? If there were bombs, there were no bombs, no guns. You know, if Quraysh was to, you know, come and attack the Muslims, so would the Muslims just, you know, give themselves away and they say, here we are, just shoot us, we're coming for Umrah, kill us, we'll die as martyrs? No, defend yourselves. So Prophet Muhammad did carry his weapons, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told the Sahaba to carry their weapons with them, alayhi wasallam, as a matter of precaution. But the weapons were not to enter inside the sacred area, you know, which is about, 9 miles or so from Mecca. So when the Prophet Muhammad thought of a way, he says, okay, I knew that, he knows that Quraysh would prevent him from entering, you know, the outskirts of Mecca. So he thought of a reroute, of a way, you know, to, and there's many ways to enter Mecca. So he asked, who can show me of a better way, of another way, which may not be easy, but another way to enter Mecca? Came a Sahabi and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I know of a way. I know of a route, you know, that Quraysh do not know about, that we could use to enter Mecca. So here's Khalid al-Walid in the boundaries, like the highway from Medina to Mecca. So he's there, you know, before the sacred area, you know, stopping Prophet Muhammad. But Prophet Muhammad is taking a reroute from the behind. Nobody knows. And then they were going, khalas, they were only a few meters away from entering the sacred area. And then the camel of the Prophet stood, you know, kneeled down. The camel kneeled down, stopped. And then they kept on pushing the camel. They kept on trying to make it stand, so much so that the Sahaba said, the camel disobeyed the Prophet Muhammad. The camel disobeyed the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're here to perform, you know, Umrah. And then the camel, she's being, you know, she's disobeying the Prophet. The Prophet said, no. Habisaha habisul fil. Habisaha habisul fil. What prevented her from entering the sacred area is the same which prevented the elephants. If you remember the story of the elephants of Abraha, when he came to destroy the Kaaba, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down those tail ababil, those birds, you know, carrying these stones, rocks from hellfire. The Prophet Muhammad said that whatever stopped the camel from proceeding is the same that stopped the elephants from, you know, destroying the Kaaba. So it's been ordered. The camel has been given an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to enter the sacred area. If they were to enter the sacred area, khalas, they're on. They're on. Nobody can stop them. Quraysh, although they were not Muslims, but they knew of the rituals. They knew of the rituals that there's no fighting allowed in the Ashhar al-Haram. And this happened in the sixth year of Dhul-Qa'dah. You have Dhul-Qa'dah and then you have Dhul-Hijjah. Dhul-Qa'dah is from Al-Ashhar al-Hurum. right? You have the Qi'da, you know, it's from the sacred months. And then you have, all, of course, the Hijjah, it's from the sacred months. So this story happened in the 6th of Dhul Qi'dah, the 6th Hijri, the 6th year of, you know, Hijrah, in the month of Dhul Qi'dah. So the camel stopped in an area called Al-Hudaybiyah. Al-Hudaybiyah. This area still exists today, which is very close to where the Jamarat are. Those of you who've been to Mecca before, right, for Hajj or Umrah, the area where they go and throw the pebbles, the area where people go to throw the pebbles, that area, very close to it, is what Al-Hudaybiyah, you know, is. So in that area, about 9 miles away from actually where the Haram is, where the Kaaba is, that's where the camel stopped. Khalid bin Walid came to know. So then he rushed. He rushed, but you know, to stop the Muslims. But the Muslims, they're only a few meters from entering the sacred area. They could have entered if they wanted to. Prophet Muhammad, he could have entered if he wanted to. Okay, the camel did not want to enter. The camel did not want to move, but Prophet Muhammad could have entered. They could have walked. But again, another sign, another message to Quraysh. I'm not here to fight. I'm here, I just want to perform Umrah. There will be so many amazing lessons right here. Also, lessons from wives, from sisters. An amazing lesson that's going to, you know, that's going to happen right now, you know, coming from the wife of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You will see what lessons we will derive from this, you know, what happened, this incident that happened here, you know, in Al-Hudaybiyah. So brothers and sisters, when the camel stopped, khalas, the Muslims, they camped. 20 days camping in Al-Hudaybiyah. They stayed, asking Quraysh for permission to come in. Quraysh did not want to let them in. Quraysh, of course, they refused. No, you're not, no, I can't let you in, you know, into Mecca. I'm only here not to fight, I'm only here to perform Hajj, Umrah. Who tells us? Who can guarantee us that you're only here for Umrah? No, we don't, we're not going to let you in. So they sent some from the elites of Quraysh. They sent to just to check and see, you know, the intentions of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. The intention was clear. They came to check from far. No, there's no, they're not ready for fight. They're not ready for war. They're indeed here to perform Umrah. But Quraysh still, you know, wasn't sure. So they sent some of their other leaders to try to negotiate some terms with Prophet Muhammad as-salam. As the Muslims listened to this amazing, amazing miracle, and a miracle that happened. Muslims, they're camping there for like 20 days. They needed water. They needed some food. They ran out of water. So what happened, Prophet Muhammad, he asked, is there a nearby well? Is there a nearby well? They said, yes, Rasulullah, there's a well, but the well is dry. The well is dry. So Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he went. Give me some water. There was some very, very little water in it. The Prophet says, give me some water. Go get me whatever water that you can from that well. So they brought him some water. They went all the way down. They brought him some water, alayhi salatu wasalam. He made wudu from that water. He made wudu, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he kept making dua. He kept making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he took his arrow. And he told the sahaba, go and put this arrow inside that well. As soon as they put the arrow inside the well, gushed out water from the well. There was no well. There was no water. There's a well which has dried out. There's only a little bit of water left. Prophet Muhammad took some of that water, made wudu from it. Made wudu from it. Kept making dua. He took his arrow that he had. He told the sahaba, go and put this arrow inside the well. They went and they put that arrow inside the well, gushed out water. Just like Zimzim. Just like Zimzim. Gushed out water. the Sahaba kept making wudu and drinking from it the whole time they were sitting, you know, standing, they were camping there in Al-Hudaybiyah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, after that incident, what happened? Well, before I resume what happened, let me check on my brothers and sisters on Facebook and let me check on those on Instagram. How are you doing, brothers and sisters? Those of you on Instagram, how are you? How are you guys on Facebook? How are you doing? How's Eleanor Mustang Wedding Hire? No idea. This is a very long name. How's Jawaira? How's Nimka Youssef? How's Abuba? How's Nona Monroe? How's Skincare? How's everybody? How's Yashmin? How's Nawal? How are you guys out there on Facebook? You guys doing okay? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jawaira doing okay? Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Everybody's out. Alhamdulillah. I'm just checking on you. Right? Can I check on you? Can I check on you? Just checking, making sure that, you know, you guys are doing all right. All right. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Missing you here. I hope you guys are getting ready for Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. Right? Start fasting. Start fasting like Mondays, Thursdays to get ready. Don't wait until Ramadan to start fasting. The first day you're going to get a big headache. Right? And then this is what happens for most people. They say, oh, it's so hard. You just try, start fasting, you know, to prepare for Ramadan. Start reading Quran. Don't wait until Ramadan to start reading Quran. Start from now reading Quran. You know, the month of Rajab, almost the month of Shahban coming up very, very soon. And then we're into Ramadan. So we don't wait for Ramadan to prepare for Ramadan. A lot of people, they do this. They wait until Ramadan to prepare for Ramadan. No, you prepare for Ramadan before Ramadan. Right? MashaAllah. So this is the best thing to do. You know, Mondays and Thursdays and fasting and all that. Yes, inshaAllah. MashaAllah. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, brothers and sisters, great, great. MashaAllah. Tabakallah. Great. MashaAllah. Great. You know, fasting those Mondays and Thursdays, you know, it's a great, you know, good thing to get ready, you know, reading the Quran. So that when Ramadan comes, you're spiritually, you know, energized to have an exceptional Ramadan. InshaAllah ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, I was saying, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, he's been, you know, he's been camping there in Hudaybiyah for 20 days. So they kept sending people to negotiate some terms with Prophet Muhammad, to look at them, maybe to ask him to go back. But Prophet Muhammad is there. He's just, I want to perform Umrah. I just want to perform Umrah. Alayhi salatu wasalam. That's all he wants. So I'm not here to fight. Although Quraysh, they've got, you know, they've been, they also are tired of fighting. Though they want some sort of truce. And that's what the Prophet really was hoping for. To have a truce with Quraysh. Truce. Khalas, peace. We want some peace with Quraysh. So they sent him, you know, a few people like Ibn Alqama. They sent him a man by the name of Budail. Hudayl ibn Warqa, they sent him Urwa. All these are from the elite of Mecca, you know, to try to negotiate, to try to ask the Prophet to go back and leave until, you know, they. And Prophet Muhammad, he also sent them Uthman ibn Affan. He called Uthman ibn Affan. He says, go back, go to Mecca, go to Quraysh and tell them Prophet Muhammad is here. He wants only to perform Umrah. And then he would go back. That's all we want. So he sent Uthman. When Uthman entered, and Uthman is also from the elite. He's not any, you know, he has a good lineage, you know, radiallahu anhu wa'addah. So he sent Uthman. So when Uthman came, they welcomed him. They knew who he was, of course. They welcomed him and they noticed that Uthman was looking at the Kaaba. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Quraysh, they noticed that Uthman was looking at the Kaaba. You know, he was like staring at it. So they knew that he missed it. So they told him, if you want to go, you can perform tawaf. Go and perform tawaf. He says, no. I will only perform tawaf when Prophet Muhammad enters it first. I will go together with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's right there. Yes, Kaaba is right there. I can go and perform tawaf. But I'm here with Prophet Muhammad. I want to do it with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will not perform tawaf unless and enter Prophet Muhammad enters Mecca and perform tawaf as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, but there were some rumors. There were some rumors that that Uthman ibn Affan was killed. There were some rumors that Quraysh killed Uthman ibn Affan. So Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, oh, this is betrayal. This is betrayal. So Prophet Muhammad, he stepped back and then he went to what we call a shajara, a tree. A tree which is very close to that area, Al-Hudaybiyah, you know, in a tree. And he called people for, you know, to give him the oath, to renew the oath of allegiance. That oath that they gave him, the bay'ah. The bay'ah that they have given, the oath of allegiance, that we would support you with our blood, with our wealth, with whatever we, you know, whatever we have, we would support you, Rasulullah. So the Prophet Muhammad renewed, you know, this bay'ah, this oath of allegiance, that because now we have, there's a betrayal, they've given Uthman, so we have to go on and avenge for Uthman radiallahu anhu arda. So they came, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed from Surah Al-Fath, verse number 18, the surah called Al-Fath. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ Allah has blessed al-mu'mineen, those believers, when they came to give you bay'ah, the oath of allegiance, the bay'ah, تحت الشجرة, under that tree. And this is, you know, this tree, it's a special tree. Now, Prophet Muhammad, you know, he stood by that tree, and the Sahaba were coming, and they were shaking his hands one by one. Yes, whatever decision you make, we're after you, Rasulullah. And then Prophet Muhammad, he shook his own hand because Uthman was not there. And then he says, this is the bay'ah of Uthman. And then he shook his hand like this. This is the oath of allegiance of Uthman, radiallahu anhu wa arda. Everybody gave the bay'ah to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So Quraysh, when they heard that Muslims are ready to attack because they thought that Uthman ibn Affan got killed, they sent someone to negotiate truce with Prophet Muhammad. Who did they send? They sent a man by the name of Suhail. Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail ibn Amr eventually would become a Muslim. But Suhail ibn Amr was the man for negotiations. You know, every, subhanAllah, even in companies, right? You know, whenever they need to negotiate terms or new contracts, they will have a department, they will have a person who's, you know, who's the master of negotiations. So Quraysh had this man, Suhail ibn Amr. He was the master of negotiations. He knew how to negotiate. When Prophet Muhammad saw him coming, he says, Sahhalallahu lakum, Suhail, Sahhalallahu lakum, مَا بَعَثُ هَذَا الرَّجُلْ إِلَّا وَأَرَادُ الصُّلْحِ Suhail from Sahl. Sahl in Arabic means easy. He said, Allah has made it easy for you. If they had sent Suhail, that means they want truce. That means they want peace. So Prophet was happy. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When they sent Suhail, he was happy. He says, you know, this is peace. We want peace. As long as they send this man, that means they want peace. And then also, they came to know that Uthman ibn Affan actually did not die. Uthman ibn Affan is still alive, radiallahu anhu wa arda. So Suhail came in. When Suhail came in, brothers and sisters, he came to negotiate some terms of peace with Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam. And who was with Prophet Muhammad to write in the terms? Abu Bakr was there, Umar was there, and Ali ibn Abi Talib was there. Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib is the one who's writing the terms. In that term, brothers and sisters, the agreement was for Prophet Muhammad to leave, not to enter Mecca that year, but to come back the following year for the Umrah. If he wants to do Umrah, he will come back the following year. In return, 10 years of truce. 10 years of peace. In that 10 years, whoever wants to enter Islam, the fall of Islam, they can. And whoever wants to enter the fall of, you know, Quraysh, they can. And that's what the Prophet Muhammad wanted. He wanted to have that feel, that opportunity, right? To give da'wah. Because the whole thing happened, you know, because Quraysh did not let Prophet Muhammad to do his job. Quraysh did not let Prophet Muhammad to give da'wah. So Prophet Muhammad did not want to fight. He did not want to cause any bloodshed or whatnot. He just want, you know, let me do my job. Let me just talk to people. Whoever wants to embrace Islam, they would. And whoever does not want to embrace Islam, it's their, you know, it's their choice. So that 10 years gave that opportunity. And that's what the Prophet wanted. He wanted that truce. It's okay, you know, to go back this year. Although the Sahaba were not happy. The Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, you saw the dream, like Abu Umar. You saw the dream. In your vision, you said that we would perform Umrah. Umar ibn Khattab came, Ya Rasulullah, you told us that we would perform Umrah. The Prophet said, yes, but did I tell you this year? I did not say this year. I said we would perform Umrah. So they came to write in the terms. So Prophet Muhammad said, write, Ya Ali, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Sahb ibn Amr said, I don't know ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I don't know ar-Rahman. Write, Bismikallahum. Bismikallahum. Write, Bismikallahum. It's fine. This is the agreement between Muhammad Rasulullah and Sahb ibn Amr. This is the agreement between Muhammad Rasulullah and Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail said, if I knew you were Rasulullah, I wouldn't have fought you. If I knew you were Prophet of Allah, I wouldn't have fought you. Right. This is the agreement between Muhammad ibn Abdullah. This is the agreement between Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, and Suhail ibn Amr. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, no, Rasulullah, I'm not gonna, you know, I wrote it down. I will not erase it. Prophet Muhammad told him, Ya Ali, erase it. He says, no, I'm sorry. I will not erase it. I wrote Muhammad Rasulullah. I'm not going to erase Rasulullah. Prophet Muhammad told Ali, show it to me. Where is it? Prophet Muhammad does not know how to read and write. Show it to me. Where is it? Ali said, it's right here, Rasulullah. It's right here. Then the Prophet took the pen and then he erased it himself. Write down Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. And then they had this agreement. And in that agreement, brothers and sisters, whoever embraces Islam, for instance, you know, and from Quraysh, anybody from Quraysh who comes and joins the Muslims, they have to return him back to Quraysh. And anybody from the Muslims who go to, let's say, join Quraysh, Quraysh will not return them back. Yeah, and if you look at it, it's not fair. It's not fair because they're saying, you know, if anybody from Quraysh joins the Muslims, you've got to return them back to us. And anybody from you people, you know, who comes to us, we're not going to return them back. We keep them. Except women, of course. If a woman was to embrace Islam, we're not going to return women back. The honor of women. The honor of women. Right? So as they were writing it's not even written yet. They had an agreement. It was not even written yet. All of a sudden, Abu Jandal. Who's Abu Jandal? The son of Suhail ibn Amr. The son of Suhail ibn Amr comes in. He comes to the camp of the Muslims. And he declares that he became a Muslim. But it wasn't even written yet. But he says, I'm a Muslim. I'm back and I'm joining the Muslims. Suhail ibn Amr says, Ya Muhammad, we had an agreement. They could have said, it's not written yet. But he gave his word. Prophet Muhammad gave his word. And that was sufficient. Then he says, go back, oh Abu Jandal, go back. Ya Rasulullah, they will torture me. They will do this to me. Yaftununi fi dini. It will be fitna for me, you know, to go back. Ya Rasulullah, don't let me go back. No, we had an agreement. La'allallahu yaj'alaka min amrika shay. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make a way out for you. Allah will make a way out for you. And then he's going back. So Suhail ibn Amr took his son and then took him back. And then Abu Jandal kept saying, Ya Rasulullah, don't let them take me. Don't let them take me. Don't let them take me. The agreement. We Muslims, when we give a word, we keep our word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ And keep your covenant. When you make a promise, keep your promise. وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ In Surah Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And keep your covenant. إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا You shall be held accountable for any promise that you have made, for any word that you have made. You'll be held accountable for it. إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا You shall be questioned about the ahd, about your covenants. So Prophet Muhammad, although it was not written, it's a verbal agreement. In Islam, brothers and sisters, when we have a verbal agreement, it's a contract that we have to abide by. It is a contract. I give you a promise, even if it's not written, but just by word. If I say, I promise that this, I promise you this, I promise you that, that in itself, it's sufficient. It's a contract, it's ahd. Khalas, my word. Al-Muslim ala ahdi. A Muslim is on his word. If I give you a word that I shall do this, khalas, I shall do that. I have to do it. Unless there is a problem or whatnot, and then I can always come back and say, listen, I'm not able or, you know, but it's my word. I have to keep that word. So when Prophet Muhammad gave that promise that anybody who comes in to the Muslims' camp, we have to return them back. So Abu Jandal came, and Abu Jandal kept saying, Ya Rasulullah, they will torture me. It's a fitna for me. It's a fitna if you let them, you know, take me back. But the Prophet Muhammad had to keep his word. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the agreement was that the Muslims will return. The Muslims will return. They will not perform Umrah. Umar ibn Khattab was so angry. Ya Rasulullah, this is not fair. This is not right. Are we Muslims? Yeah, we're Muslims. And the kuffar, because why should we have the lower hand? Should we have the upper hand? Why are we having the lower hand? Prophet Muhammad kept telling Umar, Ya Umar, I know what I'm doing. I know. Just trust me. Umar goes to Abu Bakr. Ya Abu Bakr! Ya Abu Bakr! Because, you know, the contract in itself does not seem fair. The contract does not seem fair. Muslims, you have to return back. Yes, 10 years of truce. And anybody who goes back to the Muslims, you have to return them to Quraysh. And anybody who goes from the Muslims to Quraysh, you know, we're not going to return that. We keep them. It's not fair. So Umar goes to Abu Bakr. Ya Abu Bakr, aren't we Muslims? Yes, and the kuffar. So why should we, you know, abide by these rules? It's not fair. And then Abu Bakr tells Umar, Ya Umar, that's Prophet Muhammad. Follow him. Stick to his order. Stick to his order. And Abu Bakr and Umar is boiling from inside. Boiling from inside. Imagine, remember, brothers and sisters, only 1,400 people came in. 1,400 people came with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sixth year of the Hijrah. And what was going to happen a few years later when Prophet Muhammad goes back to Mecca. 100,000 people will go. Because they needed this truce. They needed these 10 years. In these 10 years, Prophet Muhammad will go and give da'wah. Da'wah locally and internationally. He will go to he will start sending, you know, messengers to the Romans, to the Persians, calling them to Islam, to the other tribes, calling them to Islam. This is what the Prophet wanted, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted that opportunity to give da'wah. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it fath, al-fath. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. This is a great conquest. Surah Al-Fath in Al-Quran was revealed in the sixth year of the Hijrah. In the Al-Hudaybiyah. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you this great fatah. Fatah mubin. A massive fatah. Umar ibn Khattab, maybe he was just looking at the contract. It is not fair. But Prophet Muhammad was a visionary. Prophet Muhammad was a visionary. He was looking beyond. So he told the Sahaba to go back and to start shaving. The Sahaba were upset, were disappointed. None of them wanted to shave because there's no Umrah, khalas. We came wearing our ihram, but we're being prevented from entering the haram. So what they will have to do? Shave and go back, or shorten and go back. So Prophet Muhammad told them, go and shave so that we can go back. But Ya Rasulullah, you saw the dream. You saw the vision that we're going to perform Umrah this year. They were not happy. He told them, go and go and shave. None of them wanted to shave. Prophet Muhammad was scared that Allah may send a punishment against them because they are not listening to the command of the Prophet. Imagine, Prophet Muhammad is telling them to do something and they are refraining from doing it. So Prophet Muhammad was scared that Allah may send a punishment upon them. So he goes home. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was with him at the time? Whose wife was with the Prophet? Ummu Salama. Ummu Salama, remember what I said previously? I said when the Prophet Muhammad used to travel, every time he would take a wife with him. You know, in the Banu al-Mustaliq, he took Aisha with him a few years back. Now it was the turn of Ummu Salama. So Prophet Muhammad went into his tent. Ummu Salama was there. Prophet Muhammad was disappointed, was sad. She asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what's wrong? He says, I'm afraid that Allah may send a punishment upon my friends, about my companions. Why, Rasulullah? I told them to go and shave, and he did not want to shave. So Ummu Salama, the amazing woman, the amazing, amazing, brilliant woman, she says, Ya Rasulullah, why don't you go and you shave? And if they see you shave, khalas, they will have to shave themselves. And they will go and they will, you know, follow your order, and then that way you can go back to Medina. So the Prophet Muhammad took the advice of Ummu Salama. He went out and then he called one of the barbers. His barber came in and he says, I want to shave. So the barber started, he started shaving the hair of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Sahaba saw that the Prophet Muhammad was shaving, they started shaving each other's heads. So much so that they were so upset, they were injuring each other's head. Where they were shaving, like they were shaving, and they started injuring each other's because they did not want to go back. They did not want to go back. But they shaved. And they went back. But brothers and sisters, the following year, Prophet Muhammad, he came back for Umrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed in Surah Al-Fath, verse number 27. لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقَّ لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala صَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا. صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that dream that the Prophet saw truthful. Truthful. That dream came to be. What happened? لَتَدْخُلُنَّ الْمَجْدَ الْحَرَامِ. You shall enter the Masjid al-Haram. You shall enter Mecca. Insha'Allahu amineen. Safe. Safe. مُحَلِّقِينَ رَؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ. Some of you will shave and some of you will shorten. So that's exactly what happened. The following year, 2,000 people came with the Prophet Muhammad. Rijal wa nisa, men and women, they came because that was the promise. The promise is the Muslims will come back the following year. So the following year, they came back for Umrah. Prophet Muhammad came for Umrah, alayhi salatu wassalam. But he also had to carry his weapons. Remember, I said when you enter the haram area, the boundaries of the sacred, you know, area, you're not allowed to carry any weapons. So Suhail ibn Amr, he came to Rasulullah, Ya Muhammad, didn't you say that you just wanted to perform Umrah? Why are you carrying, you know, the weapons? Prophet Muhammad took precautions. So he told the, you know, the Sahaba who were carrying, you know, the weapons and they were on the front lines, he told them to stand back and they did not enter the sacred area. They put their weapons and they remained there. So they entered. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك الله 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 الله. They're entering now Mecca, all of them. And Quraysh, they did not want, you know, their the Arabs who remaining there, they did not want them to, you know, to witness how the Muslims are performing their Umrah and whatnot. They did not want them to witness their Tawaf because they were afraid that they will be, you know, that they may get, you know, they would sympathize with the Muslims or they may get affected and they maybe want to become a Muslim. So they came out into the outskirts and they spread rumors that the Muslims have this disease, contagious disease. Quraysh spread the news that Muslims had this skin disease. If you were to remain in Mecca, you will be, you know, you will be, you will get harmed and you will, you know, it's contagious, so it may touch you. So they came out into the outskirts, letting the Muslims. So when the Prophet Muhammad, he heard that the Quraysh spread those news that, you know, saying that the rumors that the Muslims have this skin disease, he told the Sahaba, uncover your right shoulders. This is why the Muslims, when they go to perform Umrah, you know, or Hajj, when they go for Tawaf, you know, in the Tawaf, they uncover their right shoulder. It's called Ittiba in Arabic. In Arabic, it's called Ittiba. This is the story. How it happened? It happened when Quraysh, when the Muslims, they wanted to perform the Umrah, the first Umrah, they spread that news so that they had skin disease. So Prophet Muhammad told them, uncover your right shoulders. Show them that we have no skin disease. Not only that, let's do the ramal. What is the ramal? The ramal is, let's walk briskly. Let's walk briskly, you know, like they walk in, like you see the now when you go for tawaf, you see the man trying to run, you know, the run, you know, not running, you know, fast, but just like brisk, they're not walking. To show them that, you know, if they were sick, they cannot run. If they're sick, they won't be able to uncover their right shoulder. So this came the sunnah of those people. Now when we go for Umrah or Hajj to perform Tawaf, we uncover our right shoulder. And then in the first three circuits, we kind of like walk, you know, briskly like that. So the, you know, the Muslims entered, لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك, until they reached, you know, Al-Haram. And then they started making Tawaf with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once they finished the Umrah, Prophet Muhammad missed Mecca. He wants to stay in Mecca. But the agreement was, again the word, the agreement was, you do your Umrah and you leave Mecca right away. You leave Mecca. So when Prophet Muhammad finishes Umrah, he wanted to stay. Quraysh told him, you have to leave. He says, why don't I make some food for you? And let's come together and enjoy the food together. They said, we don't need your food. Just leave Mecca. Prophet Muhammad kept his word. Kept his word. He told the Sahaba, by sunset, no Muslim should remain in Mecca. By sunset, no Muslim should remain in Mecca. And they stepped out. They left. Before the Prophet Muhammad left, he sent a message to Khalid ibn al-Walid. Why Khalid ibn al-Walid? And who's gonna come with Khalid ibn al-Walid? What other Sahabi will come with Khalid ibn al-Walid? Why particularly Khalid ibn al-Walid? And what's Khalid ibn al-Walid gonna do now? Because Khalid now is watching the Muslims entering Mecca, doing tawaf and doing all that. Since Uhud, Prophet Muhammad chose Khalid and sent him a message. What was in that message that Prophet Muhammad sent to Khalid ibn Walid? What did it contain? And Prophet Muhammad also sent a message to somebody else. And then he sent 14 messengers to 14 different tribes and countries, Romans and Persians. What did the Romans do when they read the message from the Prophet ﷺ? What did the Persians do? Kisra, Qaisar, what did they do? the ruler of Persia and the ruler of Rome, what did they do when they read the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now is the calling of Islam. Khalas, Prophet Muhammad started his job, calling officially, you know, leaders, rulers, all tribes to Islam. What's going to happen in that year? Somebody's going to break the treaty? Who will break the treaty? What will happen to the Muslims? What will happen to Quraysh? Another war will happen? With whom? Another war will happen, but with whom? How many people will be there with the Prophet Muhammad entering Mecca for the conquest of Mecca? Any blood will be spilled when Prophet Muhammad will conquer Mecca? Would any blood be spilled when Prophet Muhammad will conquer Mecca? What will happen? Insha'Allah ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, we will talk about this tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala, in our beautiful series, Walking with the Prophet. Walking with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was episode number 41 from this beautiful series, Walking with the Prophet. Until tomorrow, this is Riyad Warzazi saying, Jazakumullah khair, Barakallahu feekum, may Allah bless you all, may Allah reward you all, may Allah grant you all al-firdaus al-a'la. We'll talk about this and resume tomorrow, insha'Allah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. No, not next week, sister. Tomorrow, Sunday. Is that tomorrow, Sunday? No. Next week, I'm so messed up. I thought today was Sunday. I thought today was Saturday. I don't know what I'm thinking. Today is Sunday, man. It's not tomorrow. It's next week, inshallah ta'ala. Next week, inshallah, jazakumullah khair. I don't know what I'm thinking. Thank you, Sister Yasmin, for reminding me. I don't know what's going on. Today is Sunday. I'm spaced out somehow. I don't know. But yes, next week, inshallah, next Friday, same time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, 10 p.m. UK time for our series, Walking with the Prophet. Those of you who've come in late, the series are recorded on Instagram, on Facebook, and on YouTube. Please go back and watch them if you've come in late. You can share them. Please share them with others. Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube. All the series, 41 lectures. 41 lectures are all, you know, posted there on my social media, along with other series like the Stories of the Prophets, like the Family series, which we have done previously. That all on my social media, you know, accounts. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you again so much. I will see you when Facebook. Jazakumullah khair. I shall see you next week, inshallah. Next week. And Instagram. I shall see you next week, inshallah. Friday. Barakallahu feekum. Thank you so much. May Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum, sisters and brothers. Thank you, Sister Mona, Monroe, Shazia, Nakana, Yasmin, Sophie. All of you. Mu'nisa, thank you so much. Jazakumullah khair. We'll see you next week, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Facebook. Assalamu alaikum, Ahmadullah. Barakallahu feekum.